Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now for the best part, let's get into the word.
Hallelujah. We are welcome in the presence of the Most High God. I thank God for your lives. Thank God that we are still breathing. There are many who would have wanted to be here, but they are not here. So whatever is bothering you, whatever is on your heart right now, just relinquish it and give it to Him in His presence right now. Because there's somebody somewhere who is not even, who cannot even care about what you are caring, or what I'm caring about right now. He says in His word that when we come to Him, we should come to Him and offload. He says, come to me, all those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This evening, may the Lord give us rest in Jesus' mighty name. May He give you rest in the name above every other name. Rest from any issue, rest from any pain, rest from any heartache. I speak a spirit of rest upon you, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Peace upon you in Jesus' mighty name. He says, peace I leave with you. The peace I give is the peace that no man can give, that no world can give, no money can give, no man can give, no child can give. The peace from on high, may it engulf you, may it envelop you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Right now, may it enter and infiltrate your living room, your bedroom, wherever you are, your kitchen, in Jesus' mighty name. Receive the peace from on high in the name of Jesus. All that the devil is trying to do in such a time as this is to disorganize our peace. When we in pieces, then he has a field day. He comes to disorganize us, but we refuse that in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We are going to remain steadfast. We are going to remain strong. You are going to be a woman of God who is immovable. The devil comes to move you. He comes to shift you from your places where you are, because there's something called a resourceful state. A resourceful state is a state where a person is and can think properly and can, you know, and can and function properly for the Lord, not only for the Lord, but also for himself. And the enemy knows that. He knows that if you are not in a resourceful state, then he has a field day. So what does he do? He comes to move you from the place of resourcefulness to a place of disorganization, to a place where he can, you know, take over your entire life, your entire heart, you know. If we allow, there's something called the spirit of man. The spirit of man, which is the inner sanctum of any human being. And that inner sanctum of any human being was meant only for God. That is the seat of your of your heart, the throne of your heart. And that's where the battle is. The battle is for the control of your heart, the control of my heart. You understand? So whenever we allow, that's why we are stewards of our hearts. You need to be a steward of your heart. You need to be a steward of that throne. Because even Jesus Christ, he says, behold, I stand at the door knocking. He also knocks. The Spirit of God is a gentleman. He knocks. He knocks at the door, so it is you and I to open for him. So, just as Jesus Christ knocks at the door, we need to know that the enemy also knocks at the door. He also knocks. So who are we letting in is what is going to make a difference. If we let him in with all his negativity, then he's going to come with, as the Bible says, as Jesus Christ taught, he will come with seven others. So we need to be custodians of our hearts, custodians of that inner sanctum, stewards of that throne. Because the moment the enemy takes over, then we become movable. But we are meant to be immovable in him, immovable in God. Hallelujah. Even in this season, we need to be immovable. Whatever comes your way, you need to be immovable. I need to be immovable. Hallelujah. Our roots have got to be deep down. It has got to be a tap root. A tap root. It has got to be endurance of the highest order. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ taught that as he was teaching the parable of the sower. He said that, you know, he talked about many soils. And he talked about the only soil that could bring fruit was the one that was deep, the good soil. The rest of the other soil, he said, you know, the word comes, but it takes some root. Because the soil is not deep, when the tribulations come, it cannot endure. When the sun comes, it cannot endure. Because it's not deep, it's just shallow. And in these seasons right now where we are, God wants us to go deeper. Deeper than these things of the world. Deeper than the sicknesses in our body. Because the body can be sick. But like I said earlier, if we do not allow it to get the inner sanctum, then we remain immovable. You understand? What matters? That's why he says, guard your heart with all diligence. He does not say guard your body. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of the heart flows issues of life. Life comes from the inside, not the outside. Are we together? Guard your heart with what? With diligence. You have got to guard it. You and I have got to guard my heart and your heart with all diligence. Because life comes from inside, not outside. How do I know this? Jesus Christ, as he was teaching, he's approached by Pharisees. And I think they passed by as Jesus Christ was eating or something with his disciples. And they noticed that the disciples of Jesus Christ did not wash their hands when they were about to eat. I remember the tale of a story of a young man in the village, in our village where I grew up. There was a valley, and then there was another hill on the other side. You know those kinds of scenarios. So there's this young man who crossed from across the other hill and came home, to our home. Of course, he had to pass through a valley, and in the valley there is water, there's a river that flows through. So he comes at home and finds us about to eat, and then my mother invites him to join us in eating. And for those of you who grew up in villages, this is when they would boil, prepare food and throw it on a big round tray. So you all sit around this tray and begin to attack. So as we are about to start eating, this boy is invited, and straight away he comes to sit down to eat. And everybody saying, hey, you didn't wash your hands. And this young man said, I washed my hands in the valley as I was coming up. So it's like he came in anticipation to eat. Says, when I was crossing the valley, that's when I washed my hands. So don't ask me whether I washed my hands or not. You know, we thought he was dirty. That is custom. A person to eat has got to wash their hands. If they're going to use their hands, I love to use my hands when I'm eating. I call them, the forklift, that God gave me. I don't like using the the forks that are used, that are made by human beings. God gave us forks already, you know. As you can see, our hands are formed as forks, you know. So this year, going back to the scripture, the disciples, rather the Pharisees are so disturbed that Jesus Christ is allowing his disciples to eat without washing their hands. Do you know that's where that scripture is? Anybody? I need us to read it. I did not prepare for it. Just came. Prepare. I did not prepare for it. I will get it, don't worry. Mark 7. Yeah, it's Mark 7. Others, other versions, I think we also have it in Matthew chapter 15, you know. Yeah, we can read it from either. Okay, let's go to Mark 7. Are we together there? Let's read it together. Manderebro shikara manderebo. Just make sure that you can find it wherever you are. If you got it, just let me know that you are there. So we are going to start with the first verse. I will be reading. I just wanted to know that you are there. The Bible says, "And the Pharisees came together to him, and some of the scribes who came from Jerusalem. And when they saw certain of his disciples eat bread with common hands," that is to say, with unwashed hands, "they complained. They were furious, saying, 'How dare this guy who calls himself holy allow people like this, or his disciples, the people who are learning from him, to eat without washing their hands?'" It's like a parent who is not teaching his kids the etiquette of life, of eating, and you have seen some of them, and you begin to wonder, "Hey, why isn't this mother teaching her kids to do this and that?" So because this was tradition, and we know that Jesus Christ came to interrupt tradition. So verse 3 says, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews, unless they wash their hands often," not only once, often, I don't know how many times they wash their hands in a day. You understand? "Unless they wash their hands often," the Bible says, "they will not eat, observing the precepts of the elders." Verse 4. "And when they came from the market," unless they wash, this is how they did it. If they come from the market, unless they wash their hands, they will not eat. "And there were many other things that they had taken upon themselves to observe, such as the washing of cups, the pitchers, of copper pots and tables." Many, many traditions. And Jesus Christ was not talking about them. Verse 5. "Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, 'Why did you not walk according to the precepts of the elders?'" They are asking Jesus Christ about elders, not knowing that he was here even before those elders were here. He is, not even was, before those elders are. And they are beginning, they are trying to use the elders' traditions as point of references. Says the elders, that's what they taught us. But eat with unwashed hands, they asked. How dare they eat with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, "Well, did Isaiah the Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written? He says, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.' their heart is far from me. It says, in vain they worship me, teaching doctrines which are nothing but the commandments of men. For you lay the commandment of God aside and observe the precepts of men. Remember when they were accosting Jesus Christ, asking him why his disciples do not wash, eat without washing their hands. They were telling, they told him, why don't your disciples walk according to the precepts of elders, not God? They spoke about elders. You understand? They were mainly concerned about the things that elder men put in place. And Jesus Christ is countering this in his reply. He says in verse 7, in vain they worship me. In vain they worship me. Because, my friend, worship is not a matter of the body. Worship is a matter of the heart. It's the matter of the inner sanctum that I talked about. That place, that inner place where the intimacy with God has got to take place. That's why Jesus Christ taught that God is seeking for they that worship him in spirit and in truth. That is where that's where man's spirit resides, in the inner sanctum of man. That's why he says, you know, is what he says, his spirit confirms with our spirits that we are his children. There's got to be that resonance. So he's asking them and telling them, these people, their hearts are far away from me because they worship me in vain, teaching doctrines which are nothing but the commandments of men. Commandments of men. Commandments of men. That was the issue. And Jesus Christ came to do away with that, with those. Verse 8, for you lay the commandment of God aside and observe the precepts of men, such as washing of pitchers and of cups, and many such like things you do. So that was his issue. And he said to them in verse 9, all too well you do you cast the commandment of God to maintain your own precepts. They wanted to maintain the status quo. The status quo of washing the outside, yet the inside was something else. But Jesus Christ came from the inner man. He came for the inner man. The inner man. Your heart. My heart. Are we together? Verse 10 says, for Moses said, Jesus Christ is still talking to these guys. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die for it. Verse 11, but you say, a man should say to the father or mother, Koban, which is what you ask me for, to help you with, is dedicated to God. And as you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your precepts, which you have established, and many such things you do. All their traditions were coined to make the word of God of no effect, to make it ineffective. Hallelujah. There, that was an issue. Then he said in verse 14, and he called all the people to him and said to him. That conversation prior, or the prior conversation, was between him and these Pharisees and the Sadducees who approached him. So now he comes to this point where he wants every other person to hear. So he calls all these people to him. The Bible says, and he said, hearken unto me, hear me, every one of you, and understand. It says, there is nothing outside a man that can defile him when it enters into him. He tips it over. For them, they emphasized the outside, thinking if you cleanse the outside, then the inside is fine. Jesus Christ says no. He said, but those things that proceed out of him are the things that defile him, the things that come out of the inside of the man. It says, if anyone has ears, let him hear. The things that proceed from the inner sanctum matter. And the things, and whoever sits on the throne of your inner sanctum will determine what comes out. That is why we have got to guard the inner sanctum jealously. Because there's a battle for control of that inner sanctum. So Jesus Christ was turning their belief on its head and saying, you know what, you have got it the wrong way, you have got it twisted. It's not what comes out of the outside that defiles a man, rather what comes from him, what comes from the inside. Verse 17, and he went out indoors, away from the people. His disciples asked him about the similitude. And he said to them, are you also without understanding? Because his disciples were confused as well. Because you understand? They were also confused. See, how can you say that? Because it was tradition. These guys, though they were following him, they had grown up in that tradition. The things in which we have grown up, that's what Jesus Christ had came to challenge. Yes, you're confused. So after everybody has gone and they are alone, left alone with him, they ask him again about that. And then he asks them, he says, are you also without understanding, guys? He says, do you not yet perceive that whatever thing from without enters into a person, it cannot defile him? Because it enters not into his heart, but into the stomach, and goes out into the drain that carries away all the foods. In other words, not what you eat or whether you washed your hands, you know, without eating. He's saying that's not what is the issue. The issue is what is coming from the inside. So, verse 24, from there he arose and went in the borders. Verse 20 is what I wanted, I think. I jumped to verse 24. Verse 20. And he said, whatever defiles a man is that which comes from out of a man. Just ponder that statement by Jesus Christ. Whatever defiles a man is that which comes out of the man. When we talk about the man, my friend, we're not talking about the body. We're not talking about the hands. We're not talking about the eyes. We're not talking about, you know, the legs. Mm-mm, that's not you. That is why when we die, according to the world, because the man never dies, the true self, the true spirit of man never dies. Never. It's translated into and the other world. The only difference is where it goes, whether it goes to heaven or the other way, in hell. You understand? So that's why once that spirit is gone, this body is useless. And the only thing that people who are left behind can do with it is to take it where it came from. It is useless. The body in which you live, the body which you bathe, the body which you oil, that body which is asking for food left, center, and right, if we have no control over it, you understand, it can lead us astray. What matters is not that body. What matters is that the spirit in the body, the inner sanctum of man. And that's what Jesus Christ was teaching here. What defiles man is that which comes out of man. For from within, he says in verse 21, namely, out of the heart of men, the heart of men, the inner sanctum of men, says, proceed evil thoughts, and then he begins to elucidate them. Adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, uncleanliness, a wicked eye, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and that's what defiles a person. That's what Jesus Christ, and that's why the Bible teaches that, you know what? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because once your heart is guarded, you are immovable. You are immovable. And that's why he wants us, he was teaching us to abide in his word. Abide in his word. Because once his words abide in us, then the enemy's words have no room. The reason we are in all this mess is because our forefathers did not keep the word in their hearts. They did not keep the word of God in their heart. They did not protect that throne, the inner sanctum. And when the enemy came, they entertained a conversation with him. If you are not full of the word, or the word of God does not abide in you, then the enemy will twist the word of God. If it's not rich in you, that's why he says, let the word of God dwell richly in you. If it's not rich in you, he has got a way of twisting it so that he can take over that inner sanctum. And that's what happened. The throne was given away. And let us enthrone him. Let us keep him on the throne. And once he's on the throne, his word abides in us because he is the word. He is the word. At all times, let us keep him enthroned. Let's guard that heart. Let us build a wall of fire. Let's fight for that. You can lose every other thing. Every other thing, like properties, like what, those things can go. But what you should never lose, I want to submit you, my friends, that it is our heart, that throne. That throne, whoever is on, we must never lose control guarding that heart. You understand? And the moment we guard that, then we become immovable. Because there are conversations like you. These conversations that happened in the Garden of Eden, they have never ended. They have never ended. That conversation is always there. The enemy comes and conversates with us. But if we entertain his thoughts, we entertain his words, we give him room, we give him time, we give him air time, he will take over the throne, the spirit of man. The spirit of man. The battle is for the spirit of man, is for your spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit wants to sit and take charge and take control. Then we can be immovable. I will end with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, he says, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always increasing in the word, in the work of the Lord. And let me tell you, it is a sign that somebody is retreating or is progressing when they begin to retreat from the work of God. We are meant to abound, to increase in the work of the Lord. The moment the enemy infiltrates our inner sanctum, we begin to retreat from the work of the Lord. You see, everything is to take us away from His work, because that's why we are here. We are here to work for God. That's why we are in this body. Your body is still needed here because God still wants you to work for Him. He wants your eyes to be His eyes. He wants my mouth to be His mouth. He wants your legs to be His. He wants, because God is a spirit, He cannot operate in the world without a body. That's why He needs you. That's why He needs me. And the day your work is finished here, He has got to take you, and the body goes back where it went. That's why He's saying, as long as you are still alive, as long as you still have that body, that spirit is still in this body, He says, I need you to be steadfast, to be firm, to be immovable, always increasing in my work. Always increasing in my work, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. That's what He says. So remember, the inner sanctum, this the inner man, who is your spirit, guard him with all jealousness, so that you may be immovable. Because the enemy wants to move you around, so that he can control you, so that we can work for him and not work for God. Do you understand that? The one you work for is the one who sits on the throne. So we cannot allow the enemy access, because we must do the work of God. Jesus Christ said, I must do the work of my Father while it is still there. We must do the work of God, whether it is in the pandemic, whatever it is, we must do the work of God. The work of God is vast. The work of God is not only in a church or in a building. The work of God is vast. You can do the work of God wherever you are. Just open your eyes. The Lord will show you where He wants you to work, whom He wants you to help, whom He wants you to call, whom He wants you to encourage, whom He wants you to... The work is immense. He wants you to be His hands, His legs, His feet, His fingers, His eyes, His everything. That's why that body, that's why that spirit called you is still in this body. You understand? Close those eyes wherever you are and ponder these words for a few minutes.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time.